Good morning, everybody. To the money you gave, we're sending down to Barefoot Community Church to be used in North Myrtle Beach for the hurricane victims down there. And so thank you for your generosity and giving. Little did we know that Michael would come along. And so we'll stay in touch with some folks down in Florida. But thank you for your generosity. And we're sending them that money. Now, we are starting a series of days set on fear. And so I thought probably a good way to start, launch it off, is let's talk to somebody who is an expert, who this is her profession, where she works with people, and part of the people she works with are folks who struggle with fear and anxiety. So would you welcome Donna Kingsbury to the stage? Donna is, she's been a part of this church for years and years, she and her husband Kevin. And she's a professional counselor. So Donna, thank you for sharing with us. All right, let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So the folks you see, I mean, obviously the range is just large and it's a lot of different stuff going on with people. But you see a lot of folks who struggle with fear and anxiety?
I do, Mike. Pretty much everybody comes in some kind of emotional distress.
So we all are there. So nobody needs to feel alone.
Nobody, including me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including you?
Well, this is kind of anxiety-provoking. I can stand down there, this higher thing. Gets me all
so that really is real. Like, the number one fear is being in front of people. That's
yes.
real.
Yes, public speaking.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to pull out some tools, coping mechanisms to come up this morning.
Well, good, because I want to ask you about that too. Okay. So right up front, let's get with this one. Is if I'm struggling with fear, anxiety, I got panic attacks, possibly other stuff, is there hope?
Yes, there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's help. And hope starts when we ask the Lord to be a part of that problem or that issue or that distress.
Great starting point, yes. So it's kind of a, we have to...
And it builds off of there.
It's a good starting point. All right, talk to me about why does it take so long for some of us, including myself, to ask for help sometimes?
Oh, well, I think it's hard to come to the end of yourself. I think we spend a lot of time trying to fix it ourselves. I think that we might feel embarrassed, like we're a failure, that I really don't have the faith, you know, to make things okay. And
I didn't ask you this, so and she don't know I'm going to ask her this question, so I don't want to put you on the spot. But I do. Here's how I describe to people when I recommend that they see somebody,
okay.
You know, is I've said that sometimes... You can figure this out in this amount of time of years. You know, if it's electricity or whatever, you can feel how to wire something or how to fix something. But you can go to a class. And now what would take you a long, long time, if you ever do learn it, now can be done a lot quicker and a lot easier. Would that be true of counseling or people you see?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, we're certainly... Lord wired us and created us in a way that what we do and what brings us a place of mental health and physical health and spiritual health is all relational. Mm-hmm. And when we bring other people into that, when we get support from other people, when we bring the Lord into that, just that healing and that process just goes so much quicker and faster.
Empty.
And more complete.
More complete, yes. All right, so are they, when we talk about fear and anxiety, are they actual, you mentioned this earlier, so you had to pull out some skills you had. Are they actually skill sets that we can learn?
There are skill sets, yes. Oh my goodness. For panic, for, you know, just... Getting on stage. Some of the things that I did, you want me to talk about that? Yesterday, one of the coping mechanisms is getting enough rest. And doing something pleasurable and getting your mind off of something. So that's what I did yesterday. Went to the beach, did a little reading, enjoyed my day, relaxed, got a good night's sleep, woke up this morning, read a little scripture, did some counting. Counting helps. Breathing, diaphragm breathing, all of that stuff. There's a lot of little tricks of the trade to get your mind to calm down.
I got some good ideas about this afternoon. I could calm myself down. All right, talk to me about, it's like everything else, a process.
It is a process.
And most of it didn't get where we are overnight.
No.
And so it will take a little time.
It does.
So how important is it to commit to the process?
You know, one of the things that I try to get my clients to do is just to find a place to commit to. So whether that's one time, three times, a month, 40 days. I got a client that committed 100 days. Just make a commitment. Find a place to start. Just a place to start. Wherever we are, that's where we start. And sometimes it's, you know, sticking our toe in the water. Sometimes, you know, we have a good support network. We have some coping skills. We can move a little faster. I mean, God doesn't expect us to go any faster than we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right, one last time. So I'm struggling. I can get help. And it's there.
It is there. Absolutely.
And I can get better.
And you can get better. And you can get well. And you can have your life back. And the enemy doesn't have a right to rip you off from it.
Amen and amen. It's a good word. Thanks, Donna. Thank you so much. Thanks. And I know I call Donna respectfully my head checker. Sometimes you just need to go sit down and check your head, you know? And so she's a good counselor. Okay, let me ask you, what comes to mind when I mention fear, anxiety? What's the first thing you think about? Confusion? Powerlessness? Feeling out of control? Fatigue? Anybody here ever cry and you don't know what you're crying about? Yeah? Appetite disturbance? Worry? Doubt? It's like sometimes it's like a low-grade fever. It's like it's right below the surface, and it's just the concern is there. And I add insult to injury, then there are oftentimes that people don't understand. So if you share it with somebody sometimes, they'll downplay it and belittle it and say things like, "Oh, that's not a big deal." Well, you know the difference in major surgery and minor surgery? Yeah. Major surgery is when it's on me. Minor surgery is when it's on you. Ah, you're being ridiculous. No, you're not being ridiculous. And it's not just all in your head, because we can't hardly talk about this, the fear and anxiety concept, without talking about what Paul said was our whole being. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, "I pray that God sanctify you wholly, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body." And fear and anxiety have to do with all three of those things. And so let's take a look at the screen and think you'll understand that Paul said there's three parts of us. And when we came and were born, our spirit had the human spirit in it, but the Holy Spirit was not in there. That's why every person who's born, there has to come a time, because you are a spirit, God's a spirit, but you're born separated from God, and that separation from God is what we call when you invite Jesus into your heart, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and you're born again. That doesn't just automatically happen. There's a time and place when that happened. Somebody will say, "Well, I grew up in church I've been in church all my life." I know. But when did this event happened that totally changed you? He said, "You'll become a new creation. The old person will pass away and a new person is there." When did that happen? It's a great question, isn't it? When did it happen? Well, been in church all my life. I know. But you can put a frog in the oven, but don't make him a biscuit. You know, anyway, so much to that. So now let me break down what I think about fear, and I think it's probably a good biblical place to start. That fear, God wired us to have a healthy fear. There is a healthy fear. When you come up on a snake, the car slammed on brakes in front of you, and it's all built to help you. It's basically called a fight and flight response. Back in the old days when they were facing, these guys were facing a tiger or something, you walk up and went on a path, either you're going to do one or two things. You're going to fight or you're going to what? And you're going to need to be faster than your buddy who's with you. That's all. Yeah. That's a good day right there. But God made, wired us in a way until this whole response system. All right, here we go. This whole response system now, because your mind went into gear, you saw something, your feelings got involved, you made a decision, you're going to fight or you're going to run, and now all that's transferred over to the body, your eyes dilate, stuff goes into your system to cause your muscles to respond. All of a sudden, you're in high gear, the adrenaline is pumping in your veins, and that is meant for short order. That's meant to get the job done. The chemical changes, all of that go into place. That night, afterwards, now you are doing what Donna talked about. You're relaxing, and you're telling the wife, yeah, tiger didn't have a chance. Did you fight him? No, I just outran George. And now all the system is calming down. You're breathing good. Eyes are not dilated anymore. And you're at peace and you're at rest. Things work just as they're supposed to. What if you didn't wind down? What if your system stayed charged? What if your mind stayed running? What if the energy in your body stayed on high alert? If that would happen, friends, it's where a lot of us are. Because we stay in gear. And it never backs off. And because it never backs off, it starts wearing us down. The voices in your head. Anybody got voices in your head? Anybody talk to yourself here? Yeah. Yeah, is that okay? When does that get to be a bad thing? When you start answering yourself? Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you a quick story about Ribbit, the frog. In the middle of the forest, there was this pond where frogs lived, a whole family of frogs, a whole community of frogs, and it had a big, huge wall around it, and none of the frogs had ever gone on the other side of the wall. The mayor of this frog city decided he's going to encourage some of them to just find out if we can't get over that wall, so he makes up this whole thing about a big day and going to have the strongest and the smartest and the biggest frogs who can actually make an attempt to get out of this thing. And so the day came. Five of the frogs who were the strongest and the best lined up on a line, and there was one that was the sixth one that nobody paid much attention to. He was over on the side, kind of. He wasn't as strong looking as the rest of them, and his name was Ribbit. Gun goes off, starting line, the frogs take off. Now, one thing that you just don't know, because most of you didn't study much about frogology, and so I'm going to enlighten you, is that frogs are incredibly negative. Frogs are negative about everything, and all they do is just doubt, 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 and worry, worry, worry. It's just a frogdom thing. So they're running, and guess what all the frogs on the sideline say? Don't do it. Stop. No, don't do it. No, nobody's ever done that before. Stop. And guess what happened? One by one, the frogs, guess what? Dropped out. All except Ribbit. And Ribbit, he was hollering at him. He ran and made his final leap. He didn't make it over the wall. But he made it almost to the top. And he hung on. Now they gathered under him and said, turn loose, drop, we got you. Come on. Ribbit puts one foot ahead of the other one and climbed up on top of the wall. And for the first time in frogdom, looked over and saw what no other frog had ever seen. Now, Ribbit was not the smartest frog. He wasn't the strongest frog. He wasn't the wisest frog. But he was deaf. Fear and anxiety can only exist if you feed them. They only can exist. And the only way to stay alive is you feed them. Anybody got frogs in your head? Anybody listen to those voices that are so negative? Now, we're talking about fear and anxiety. We're not talking about a disease. This is not something you caught. This is a habit you develop. You didn't wake up just one morning and have a disease. No. This may have started early on, even far back as childhood, as just the habits we generate. Now, why is that important? That's important because if, in fact, you say, well, it's a disease and I just caught it, then you may not can do anything about it. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, when Scripture says over 366 times, fear not, is it possible? Yes or no? Is it yes or no? And it may be, like Donna said, it may take some skills. It may take some spiritual understanding. It may take some work. But it is entirely, entirely possible. We had a cat who came up to our house in a storm. And it was wet. And you know how cats look when they're wet. And it was cold. And we saw it on the back porch. I told my wife, Dean, one thing. Anybody got any idea without knowing the story at all? Do not feed that cat. Her being a nice, submissive wife. I looked around. Later on, some minutes went by, I looked around, and there's the biggest bowl of tuna on that back porch. Now, a question for you. Did that cat stay or did that cat leave?
Stay.
Why did it stay? The weather that was mentioned. Aren't you enjoying this little mornings when it's cool in the morning? Isn't that nice? Let's just say, for instance, in the morning you got on your porch and you take a cup of coffee with you, take some bread where you put some jelly on it and got it all just right, and maybe a little honey, whatever you put on there, and you sit on your back porch, and a pigeon comes and flies and lands on the edge of your porch. Well, you're a nice person, yes?
Not gonna feed that bird.
She says she's not gonna feed that bird, but in order for the story to work, you gotta feed that bird. So you being a nice person, break off a piece of that bread and throw it down, and the pigeon will eat that bread, yes? The next morning out there, and it's cool and it's nice, he comes back, but he has a friend with him. Yes? And I said, well, yeah, it's okay. He's got a friend, got a buddy and a pal. So you feed him. Then by the end of the week, you start to walk out one morning, and you cannot get on your porch because there are so many pigeons. Yes?
Yes.
Now, You call up a friend and you say, I can't get on my porch because there is so many pigeons. And your friend says to you, Are you feeding them? And you say, yes. And you say to your friend, they will stay for as long as you feed them. Fear and anxiety will stay. Because part of the reason is that there is a certain amount of anxiety that goes with being alive, a certain amount of stress and tension that goes with being here on the planet. And what happens is, as that, call it insecurity, none of us raised in perfect homes. Is that true? And so we know there's no such thing as a perfect home. So we all have stuff to deal with. And so the problem, oftentimes, though, is one of the mechanisms that we have for dealing with this stuff, if we can look at body, soul, and spirit here again, is that we have Christ on the inside, and now we have a way that now we start pulling him into the situation, and now he starts ministering to us. He is the Prince of Peace. We were never born to live without him. We were never created. He created Adam and Eve to live forever with him. They're the ones who bailed on him. And so when we come back to the planet, we have to reconnect again, because that's the state that we were to be in. It's in that state that now he can minister to us as the Prince of Peace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he is our peace. But what happens oftentimes is that salvation becomes just an event instead of a way of life. It becomes something that happened and Christ came, and yes, we were born again. But learning how to live life under his guidance, live life under his leadings, live life feeding our mind with his word, developing a biblical worldview instead of a worldview just comes up with somebody else's ideas, living life God's way with God's plan, instead of taking life seriously and living it that way, it's just an event that happened, and yeah, we are going to heaven. You're right, born again. But what happens is, it's like nothing is ever pulled over from this realm where the Holy Spirit is that renews your mind and helps you deal with life. See, Jesus, this kind of, anybody, I remember after I received the Lord and I was a boy, I remember the feeling of laying my head on a pillow, and I didn't understand all of this, but I remember laying my head on a pillow, and I knew what it was like, now that I understand, to feel complete. It was like there was a level of okayness. And it's what the Lord does when an engine that runs with the pistons inside of an engine creates a lot of friction, creates a lot of heat. And you put oil in your engine so that that heat, so that that grind doesn't wear your engine down or run hot and blow up. But what if you didn't put oil in the engine? Then the friction would run the motor hot and it would freeze up on you, and you're stuck. I think a lot of time with fear and anxiety, I think we don't put the oil of the Holy Spirit in, and the friction of life and the cares and the stuff to just cope and handle stuff, sometimes it gets overwhelming. Now, let me just say a quick word here. This habit we develop, and if our mind runs continually and the chemicals in our body run continually. Then sometimes we can reach a place, if we've been through trauma or been through some stuff, that all of this stuff bypasses the body, and the body, I mean, bypasses the mind, and your body is fully engaged, and then you have a panic attack. I mean, when that happens, it doesn't ask you, is this okay? You know, it doesn't ask you, all of a sudden, it just bypasses your wiring, and you find yourself fully engaged in one. Well, your body's still responding right. It's responding to how God made it. You just have to work with that and figure some things out with it. I want to read you a verse now. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to contrast this. I want to contrast this with you. Because this insecurity that I'm talking about, when it sets in, you know, we're supposed to somehow have Christ and His help, His Spirit to help us and be the oil. But if we don't, and we don't figure out how to do that, then you know what our natural response is? Our natural response is now, when we start feeling out of control with the insecurities, we clamp down and we control more. And that clamping down and controlling more instead of helping, that is the sand, that's the grit that's in the machinery, which creates the friction now. And so what's happening now is we have some insecurities, some things happening, but now we don't like that because it doesn't feel too good. And now we step into another place where we clamp down and try to control it harder, and that now creates a wear and tear on us that eventually will wear us down because we were never designed to play God. We were never designed to worry. And worry is like you're trying to figure out the future before it happens. You're trying to go around the corner and see what and answer the what if question. Do you know what will happen tomorrow, yes or no? Who only knows that? But now if we jump, and that's the reason the Bible says, don't borrow from tomorrow all the trouble. There's enough for today. But worry tries to read the page of what ifs, and that is only God's place. Now what happens with the worry as that's happening, now we're in a place that the wear and tear on us is more than we understand because we're playing God and we were never meant to play God. God's God and we are His kids. When you switch over to that position, that's just not good for inside of you. And what happens is it creates more friction. So instead of helping, it hurts. Instead of helping dissipate the fear or anxiety, it's adding to it. And then you become a part of the problem instead of part of the solution. Make sense to y'all? Follow me. Now, that maybe is the reason that Peter is writing this, and he says this, in the same way when you were younger, submit yourself to the elders and clothe yourself in humility one toward another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand, whose mighty hand? That He may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because what? He cares for you. Can I just hit pause tonight? Because this was only an introductory kind of message for the series. So I only want to take 20 minutes to do it. But could I work with just a little something here to just to help possibly us understand something? See, I think one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to ask for help sometimes, I think there's something on the inside that... What is that? You don't want... I remember a story one time about a guy going to see a counselor and And it was on the second story. And he was about to leave. And so on the way out, he looked through the window and somebody he knew was coming in. And he said, I don't want them to see me. Is there a I don't think any of us would just outright say that there's some lack of humility or maybe pride, something that fights this process. But what Paul is making, I mean, what Peter's making plain here is a connection between us submitting ourselves to God's hand, yes, and then in humility, we cast our care on Him. There's just something about it being okay to ask for help. Because one of the ways I think that we can reach out and ask for help is we just humble ourselves. Does everybody need help in some way? Is that true? Let me hear you say it. Let me hear you say it to the person next to you. Say, I need help. Is that okay? That's okay, yes. I see my daughter Macy sitting on the front seat, and she's got four kids, four and under. She needs some help. Verse 8, cast your care on him. It says, be alert and sober-minded, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring frog for someone to devour. And how does he devour them? He keeps the stuff going, and he keeps it feeding to you. Resist him and stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of thing. You're not alone, my friends. You're not alone. Everybody is going through something. So welcome to the human race. And the grace of God who called you says, eternal glory Christ, after you have suffered a little bit, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's what I'm believing by the end of this series is going to happen. He'll make us strong, steady. Do you agree with me? Now, what I want to do is now, is I want to invite the team to come back out. Because what if I had to say to you from this message, a huge takeaway point would be this. Let's do the spirit, soul, and body slide. If you don't have Christ here, invite him in. If you do have him here, you have got to get him involved in this process. Y'all remember the story about him being in the boat with the disciples and the storm came and he was up, he was sleeping? Remember that story? And they had to wake him up. It's time for you to invite Christ into where you are. Whether it's your business, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your emotion, what's going on, whether it's your mind, you have got to invite him in to be a part of the process. The song that we sang, the song that says, you know, unless he shows up, I'm not good enough. And we were never built to go it alone. We were never designed with the coping skills to cope without him as a part of our life. That is the definition of playing God. Submit to him. Submit to his mighty hand. And in that submitted state, now cast your care, because he cares for you. And so I want to sing this song, inviting him back into the process. Okay? Let's worship together. Thank you.